Lesson number 10, conserving the results. So this is a lesson on follow-up, and we'll try to go through this as quickly as we can. So the introduction, the Great Commission, as we've already learned, is not simply to get people saved, but it's to follow up on our converts. It's go ye therefore and, number one, teach all nations. Number two, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And number three, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So it's not just to teach all nations or to preach the gospel. Obviously, that's the main thing. But we also want to baptize them and want to teach them to observe all things. So in this lesson, I'm going to give you some practical steps for effective follow-up on your converts, all right? So number one, let's talk about who to follow up on. Letter A there, we want to follow up on people who got saved, okay? Matthew 10:14 says, "And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet." So we should follow up on people who got saved, of course. Number one, once somebody has been saved, we do not want to just leave them at the door on their own. Number two, it should be a very rare exception when you follow up on someone that did not get saved. So sometimes people ask me, like, who should I follow up on? Well, only follow up on people that got saved. Now, that doesn't mean follow up on everyone that got saved, okay? But that's where we start. Follow up on people that got saved. Every once in a while, there might be a rare instance where you follow up with somebody that didn't get saved. Like, for example, if they don't believe the Bible is the Word of God and you want to send them some links to a sermon that they could listen to, and you send them those links and you want to follow up with them about that, like, did you get a chance to listen to that? What do you think of that? Do you have any questions? There are instances like that where you click with somebody that didn't get saved and you just follow up with them anyway because you're trying to get them saved. But as far as following up and trying to get them to church, it should be a pretty rare exception when you follow up on someone that did not get saved. Generally speaking, you want to follow up on people that got saved. Number three, realize that you do not have to follow up on everyone you get saved. The following points tell what else to look for in regards to follow up. So I want to start with people that got saved, but not everybody that got saved is someone we want to follow up on. There might be other things we're looking for in regards to that. So letter B, follow up with people who seem interested in coming to church. Follow up with people who seem interested in coming to church. So if they got saved, but they don't really seem interested in church at all, you may not necessarily want to follow up with them. Now, what I mean by that is you can leave them with an invitation, leave them with resources. That's fine to leave people with stuff. When I'm talking about following up, I'm talking about where you're going to put effort to try to call them or contact them or try to get them in church. Generally speaking, you want to follow up with people who got saved, and you want to follow up with people who seem interested in coming to church. Then letter C, follow up with people who are like you. So generally speaking, if you're going to follow up, you want to follow up with people who are like you. What does that mean? That means same age, area, or same season of life, same social, economic status. And I know sometimes people don't like you saying this, but generally speaking, you're going to click with people that are most like you. So follow up with people that are like you. And all I'm saying is this. I'm probably not going to click well with an 80-year-old woman. Not that I couldn't follow up with her, but if I do follow up with her and she comes to church, I want to try to connect her with people her age as soon as possible, if that makes sense. So just realize that in your life, in your season of life, there might be people that you're able to connect with and talk to that are kind of more like you. So those are good things to be looking for. So follow up with people that are saved, follow up with people that are interested in church, and follow up with people that are like you. Not that those are the only people you can follow up with, but those are probably the best people to try to follow up with. So if you're looking for someone to follow up with, be looking for that criteria. So number four, page number 44, number two, let's talk about things to look for in follow-up. Things to look for in follow-up. So letter A, there are some characteristics that if you hear somebody say this to you, you want to be looking for these things. Letter A, look for people who are in trouble. Look for people who are in trouble. Mark 2:17 says, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So Jesus said, I'm looking for they that are sick, not they that are whole or they that think they are whole, but I'm looking for they that are sick. So what that means is want to try to find people who are in trouble. You say, what does that mean? Examples of people in trouble, marriage problems or divorce, child-rearing problems or problems with CPS, financial or job problems, an unexpected pregnancy. If you knock on a door and they start telling you, my life is a mess, my marriage is falling apart, my children are this or whatever, they start giving you all these troubles in their life. Take that as a sign that this might be someone that if they get saved and they seem receptive to church, that it would be worth following up with, because oftentimes people come to church because they are in trouble. So people who are in trouble, letter B, people who are in transition. People who are in transition, transition is a good time to get people into church. You say, what does that mean, people in transition? Here's some examples. Number one, they just moved into the area. In fact, I would say that's the number one. If you are trying to get somebody in church and somebody tells you, I just moved into the area, and you just walk away from that, you are leaving a gold mine. I mean, more often than not, the best way to get someone to come to church is when they just moved. For whatever reason, when they just moved into the area, a lot of times people who already have a habit of going to church are looking for a church to go to, and they will usually go to the first church that somebody invites them to. So people that are in transition, number one, they just moved into the area. But that's not the only transition. Also, people who just got married, people who just had a baby, sometimes even people who just got a new job or went into a new career. Those are all transitions, and those are all good times to get people connected in church. FYI, you will find that people who are the most likely of all to come to church are those who recently moved into the area. We talked about that. And then little by the way as well, not only are times of transitions a great time to get people in church, you should just know this as a congregation. Times of transition are always a time when people fall out of church as well. So just know that. So when people move, oftentimes they transition out of church, or when they just got married, or when they just had a baby. Those are times of transition that oftentimes people get knocked out of church. They're good times to knock people into church, and they're also times when people get knocked out of church. So just be careful with that, or just be aware of that. Especially as you're ministering to other people in our church, you see somebody in those transitions and they stop being as faithful as they were, be aware of that, maybe reach out to them and all of that. So letter C, people who are interested in being taught, people who are interested in being taught. When someone expresses a desire to learn the Bible, when someone expresses that they don't feel like they're being fed at their current church, fireworks should be going off in your head, okay? Our church is a wonderful church. We have wonderful, everything's great. The music's great. The homeschool group is great. Everything we do around here is great. But I will just say this to you, and I don't mean this in an arrogant way. I hope you understand this. Our strongest attribute is the Bible teaching of this church. What differentiates us from most people is the Bible teaching of this church. I mean, we literally have people in our church right now who went to another church in this city for like 20 years, and they were so frustrated because they just felt like they weren't learning anything. And then they stumble across our church, and they're like, wow, a church where we're actually learning the Bible, and they love it, and they've brought people. So just realize this, when you're out soul winning, and someone says to you like, yeah, I'm going to this church, but I don't really feel like I'm learning anything, fireworks should be going off in your head. Hey, you should come to our church. I think you'd like our church. If they have a desire to learn the Bible, those are things you should be looking for. So what are you looking for? People in trouble, people in transition, people interested in being taught. If that any of those things come up in conversation, you need to be thinking to yourself like, this is someone I could potentially follow up with and they would come to church. Okay, so number three, let's talk about tips for effective follow-up. Just some tips, things that you could do for effective follow-up. Number one, pray for your converts. Pray for your converts. The entire time that you are actively following up with them, you should be praying for them. I would encourage you to pray for your converts. You say, how long? I would say as long as you're following up with them. And if you say, well, I don't know how long that is, then do this, at least for 1 week after their salvation. I would encourage you to pray for your converts and to make a commitment that if you get somebody saved, that you're going to pray for them once a day for at least the next 7 days. Or while you're actively following up with them. Now, this is another reason why you want to learn their name, because if you don't even know their name, you can't pray for them. So learn their name, follow up with them. Number two, page 45. We're talking about tips for follow-up. Number two, give clear directions to the church building. Here's one real easy thing you could do, even if you do nothing else, is to give clear directions to the church building. Number three, spend time after they get saved talking about coming to church. Now, again, this is only if you find someone who's interested in coming to church. You want to spend time after they got saved talking to them about coming to church. Okay, so a little FYI. You could have a few go-to verses that you can use to emphasize church attendance, but here's one example for you, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So spend time after they get saved talking about coming to church. Then number four, invite them to church. So don't forget that. Invite them to church. You say, how do I do that? Just ask, would you be interested in coming to church on Sunday? Or if they need a ride, hey, if we came by and picked you up, if I came by and picked you up, would you be interested in coming to church on Sunday? So let me just give you some thoughts on inviting them to church. The best time to invite them to church is immediately after they got saved. The best time to get their information is immediately after they agreed to come to church. And the best person to get their information is the person that just got them saved, okay? Because sometimes people get this idea, they're like, hey, pastor, I got this person saved, but can you go talk to them and get their information and follow up? First of all, our church gets a lot of people saved. And secondly, that's going to be odd because they connected with you, that you got them saved. So the best person to get their information is you. The best time to get their information is right after they agreed to come to church. And the best time to invite them to church is right after they got saved. So if you get them saved, you're at the prime time there to invite them to church and get their information. So invite them to church. And here's the thing. You say, well, how do I know if somebody's interested in coming to church? If you invite them to church, they just got saved, right? And then you say, hey, I'd love for you to be my guest at church on Sunday. Would you be interested in coming to church? And they say, no. Or they say, I'm working on Sunday. Or they say, I don't know, you know, maybe. Okay, all of those are negatives. Praise the Lord they got saved. Praise the Lord we're going to see them in heaven. But they're not that interested. What I do, if you decide you're interested, there's information here about our church. We'd love for you to come by, check out our website, whatever, and move on. But if you say, hey, you know, they just got saved, and hey, I'd love for you to be my guest at church. Would you be interested in coming to church on Sunday? And they're like, yeah, I've been looking, you know, I've been thinking about getting back to church. That's a positive response. So then you want to move forward, all right? So follow up on people that are interested in coming to church. You say, how do I know if they're interested in coming to church? Ask them, would you be interested in coming to church? And if they give you a negative response, even if they're polite, but they're like, I don't know, you know, let me think about it, then just move on. Even if they got saved, I would just move on. When it comes to follow-up, I'm looking for people that are interested in coming to church. When it comes to salvation, I'm looking for anyone who's willing to hear the gospel. After I get them saved, when it comes to follow-up, I'm looking for people who are interested in coming to church. Number five, ask permission to follow up with them. Ask permission to follow up with them. So this is how my wife and I often do it. After we get somebody saved, we'll say something like this, I would like to pray for you. By the way, don't tell somebody you'd like to pray for them if you're not planning on actually praying for them, okay? But if you actually mean that and you're going to pray for them, hey, I would like to pray for you, and I'd also like to send you some information from our church. Do you mind if I write down your information so I can do that? Ask permission to follow up with them. This is a theme that we've talked about in this seminar. Ask permission to give them the gospel. Ask permission to follow up with them. Don't just take it upon yourself to just like, well, I didn't ask them, but I'm just going to send them something anyway. People get freaked out by stuff like that, okay? People think that's weird, and they think you're stalking them, okay? So just ask them. And I would say, I do this a lot, and I would say in the 20 years of soul winning that I've lived, I've literally asked hundreds of people probably in the last 20 years, hey, I'd like to send you some information from our church. Do you mind if I write down your information? And I think I've had like one, maybe two, if I'm remembering correctly, people say no. Usually by the time you get them saved, and again, but I'm also not asking everybody. I'm asking the person that got saved and the person that I said, hey, would you like to come to church on Sunday? Like, yeah, I've been looking for a church. That's the person I'm asking. Ask permission to follow up with them. Number six, text them links to sermons or videos. Text them links to sermons or videos. When you get their phone number, and you should get their phone number when you write down their information, text them a link to something right then and there while you're standing in front of them to verify that they got it. Because often what I've found is you'll get somebody's phone number and then you'll text them a day later and they never respond. But you should have like a sermon or something kind of ready, a link ready. And when you get their information, they give you their phone number, you should just text them right there. Like, hey, I'm going to send you this link. Let me know if you got it. They're like, oh, yeah, I got it. Thanks. There's just something about texting it right then and there that is good. If you send them a sermon, make sure it's from the church that you are trying to get them to go to, all right? So I don't know why people do this stuff, but let me just say it, okay? If I were soul winning in Fort Worth, Texas, which I've done a lot of soul winning in Fort Worth, Texas over the years, I would be sending them information about Steadfast Baptist Church, okay? You say, why? Because I'm in Fort Worth, Texas, and that's the church I'm trying to get them to, okay? If I'm in Fort Worth, Texas, I'm not sending them links from Faith Forward Baptist Church. If I'm at Faith Forward Baptist Church, I'm not sending them links from Verity Baptist Church. And if you're at Verity Baptist Church, I don't understand why you're sending people links from churches 1,000 miles away. It doesn't make any sense, okay? Whatever church you're trying to get people to go to, try to send them links, sermons, stuff from that church, since that's the church you're trying to go to, okay? Don't send them links of Pastor Jimenez. If you're at Steadfast, they're going to show up to Steadfast and be like, who's this guy? Because you're sending them the wrong links, okay? So I don't know why that needs to be said, but it apparently needs to be said. So I said it. Page 46. Number 7. Offer them a ride to church. Offer them a ride to church. If they need a ride, offer to pick them up. You say, that's a lot of work. And that's why most people don't have converts. Yes, it's work to follow up. But if you want converts, offer to pick them up. Now, let me just say this. If they live in the following zip codes, okay, the way that we do our soul winning at our church is we have the nearby areas and the faraway areas, okay? The nearby areas is what we call on our staff the big five zip codes, 95833, 34, 35, 3815. What does that cover? Those are the five zip codes that surround our church building. That covers all of Natomas, South Natomas, North Natomas. It covers Del Paso Heights, and it covers the Arden area. The entire five zip codes around our church area. We knock those doors once a year at our church, and then we have the rest of Sacramento that we're just trying to knock out throughout, okay? If they live in the big five zip codes, 95833, 34, 35, 3815, then you can offer them a ride to church and tell them our church van will come by and pick you up for church, and we will go by and pick them up. If you give us their information and set up a ride, we will do that if they live in those zip codes. Now, if they live in the pocket and you offer for the church van to pick them up, then you will be driving to go get them, okay? So we just can't send the church van to Elk Grove, South Sac, West Sac, Citrus Heights, and Redding or some crazy thing where people think we're going to pick people up from church. If they live in the big five zip codes, 95833, 34, 35, 38, 15, offer the church van. Otherwise, get them an Uber or something. I don't know. Number 8, or you offer to bring them up. Number 8, get their complete information. Get their complete information. What does that mean? That means first and last name. That means full address, including apartment number and zip code. And that means phone number, preferably a person's cell phone that you can text. Okay? Now, when it comes to getting their information, and if you use one of our new believer cards, make sure that you fill out the card. Oftentimes, what I see people do is they'll hand someone the card, like, here, give me your information. But just realize that that's not good for a couple of reasons. Number one, you don't want to have this card that says new convert follow-up, and they're like, what am I signing up for? And also, what you find is when you give them the card to fill out, they just give you the information they want to give you. So they give you like their first name, and then they give you like a zip code, and they give you a fake email or something. But if you're like, hey, let me get your information, what's your first name? Oh, how do you spell that? What's your last name? What's the address here? What's the zip code here? Do you get text messages, cell phone number? What's your cell phone number? If you do it, you will get all the information that you need to effectively follow up with them, all right? Get their complete information and tell them why you're asking for their information. Tell them, I would like to pray for you, and I would like to mail you some information from our church. Would you mind if I write down your information? Now, at the very least, what you should do is mail them a new believer's packet. And our church provides for you a lot of different resources, and we're going to go over those at the end. But let me just bring this one up now. We provide for you a new believer's packet. It's already have the return address label. It already has the stamp. I mean, I literally do not know how to make this easier for you other than to schedule a time to lick the stinking envelope for you. And even that, you peel it. You don't even have to lick it. So I don't know how to make this easier for you. You guys are really spoiled because, you know, I grew up sewing, and you know the churches that I grew up with, none of them had soul winning seminars. None of them had all these resources. None of them had anything like this. So we're making it as easy as possible. You say, what do I do when I get somebody's information to follow up? You come to church, you go to that foyer, you grab one of these things, and then just write their address, drop it in the mail, and that's it. You followed up with them. So use the new believers packets. Number 9, call them or text them before you pick them up. So let's say they agreed to come to church. They agreed that you're going to go by and pick them up. I recommend that you call or text them before you pick them up. Now, I recommend you do this a couple times. First of all, the evening before you pick them up. So let's say I'm supposed to pick them up on Sunday morning for church. I call or text the Saturday before to confirm. Hey, I'm just calling to confirm that you're still planning on coming to church tomorrow. It's really more of a reminder, like, remember you're coming to church tomorrow. Also, if you're going to pick them up, I recommend you call them an hour before you pick them up. You say, why? To wake them up. All right? So, hey, I'm just calling to know I'm going to be there in an hour. You say, why not call them when you're there? Hey, I'm outside. Because when you call them while you're there, hey, I'm outside, they're going to be like, oh, man, I just woke up. Sorry, I'm not going to make it. But when you say, hey, I'm going to be there in an hour, they're like, oh, man, I just woke up. And you're like, that's fine. I'll be there in an hour. You got an hour. I'll be there in 1 hour. Go ahead and get ready. Okay, Dad, thanks. So I recommend you call them an hour beforehand so that you can wake them up to come to church. Number 10, page 47. Have a reason to call or visit them. Sometimes people say to me, like, follow-up is awkward. It's awkward when I call them or text them. It's awkward because you don't have a reason to call. So have a reason to call. So bring or send them a new believer's packet or a little gift, try to do something that helps them spiritually. And if you mail it, send it several days before you call so you can use that as a reason as to why you're calling. So here's how it works. I get somebody saved on Saturday, right? I say, hey, would you like to come to church on Sunday? And they're like, you know, I'm looking for a new church to go to. I've already got plans for tomorrow, but maybe next Sunday. And I say, great, that's perfect. I'd love for you to come on Sunday. I can come by and pick you up. I'd like to mail you some information from our church. My wife and I want to pray for you. Do you mind if I write down your information? I get their information. On Sunday, I come to church, grab one of these. On Monday, I'm putting this in the mail, right? Or Tuesday, I'm putting this in the mail. Well, guess what? By Thursday or Friday, they're getting this in the mail. So then on Friday or Saturday, preferably Saturday, I call them, and it's not awkward because I'm saying, hey, I sent a new believer's packet in the mail for you. I just wanted to make sure you got it. Oh, yeah, I received that. Thank you. That's really nice for you. No problem. You still plan on coming to church tomorrow? You see how that? It gives you a reason to call. So use this as a tool to be able to call them, follow up with them, try to get a hold of them. Number 11, talk to them about baptism. Talk to them about baptism. The next time you visit with them, if they already got saved, talk to them about baptism. Let me read the little FYI. In the same way, because people ask me about baptism, let me just say this. First of all, if you bring them to church, we'll talk to them about baptism if they got saved. We've got people designated, trained to do that. But let me just say this. If you want to talk to a convert about baptism, just realize this. In the same way that you had a plan to present the gospel, you should have a plan to present baptism. Now, it should not be as long or as complicated as the gospel is, but you should have a little plan, some verses that you're going to use to explain baptism to somebody. And in the same way that we ask for salvation, would you like to get saved? You should ask about baptism. Would you like to get baptized? So have a plan for explaining baptism. Number 13, seek for a decision when you talk about baptism. That's what I just mentioned. Seek for a decision when you talk about baptism. In the same way you sought a decision when you talked to them about salvation, seek for a decision on baptism. Number 14, develop a dialogue with your converts. Develop a dialogue with your converts. Oftentimes, converts that come to church are the ones that have ongoing conversations with the person that got them saved. This can most commonly be done in our day and age through text messages while discussing the Bible or Bible questions or sermons that you listen to or documentaries or videos that you've sent them. So if you're sending them links to videos, you're sending them stuff in the mail, you can talk to them like, hey, I sent you that in the mail. Or did you watch that documentary? What do you think? Do you have any questions? Or I gave you that sermon about logical reasons to believe in the Bible. Do you have any questions? What are your thoughts on that? And just have a dialogue. And texting is really easy because it allows you to have these ongoing conversations with people. We have found that the soul winners that have these dialogues with people often are the ones that do well at getting converts to come to church. Then page 48, number 15, let's talk about when to not follow up or when to stop following up. When to not follow up or when to stop following up. If they did not get saved, you probably don't want to follow up with them. If they got saved but do not seem interested in coming to church, you probably don't want to follow up with them. If they said they would come to church and after a few attempts have never actually made it, at some point, eventually, you probably want to stop following up with them. If they stop responding or avoiding you, you probably want to stop following up with them. Now, here's the thing. You could be actively following up on somebody and maybe you feel like, okay, they haven't came in a while. It's not bad, though. I don't feel like I'm done with them, but maybe I want to give it a break. You can give it a break. And what I usually tell people is follow up on your converts when you got them saved. If you feel like they're just not coming, but the conversations are still good, they're still texting you from time to time, but they're just not coming, what you may want to do is just wait till the next big day. And then when we have family friend day, when we have Easter, when we have I Love My Church Sunday, when we have Christmas, notice we have four big days that are systematically placed throughout the year. So you could just wait for the next big day and then use that big day to pick up that follow-up. Hey, we're having family and friend day. I think this might be something you would like. You might be interested in. What do you think? You know, invite them to church or I Love My Church Sunday or whatever, Easter. So use those things. Little note there. Remember that when we are out soul winning, we want to get the gospel to anyone and everyone who's willing to listen. But when we are following up, we want to only follow up on people who are likely to come to church. So I don't recommend that somebody follow up on just every single person they get saved. You want to follow up on people you got saved, but also people who are interested in church. And if they meet those criteria of they're close to your age, they're kind of you're in your same level or season of life, if they meet any of the criteria, they're in trouble, they're in transition, they're seeking to be taught, be looking for all that information to kind of guide you to help people with that. Let me quickly talk about some of the resources that we have. We have the New Believers Packet. We have those available for you. Obviously, we have the booklet, What the Bible Says About How to Know You're on Your Way to Heaven. We used to have DVDs that we would give out to people, but DVDs are going out of style. And a lot of times when we were handing them to people were like, I don't have a DVD player. My computer doesn't have a DVD player. So we just decided to make a booklet about it, and hopefully people don't lose the ability to read. We also, of course, have the Psychopath Reprobates DVDs. We have lots of different resources. We make special invitations for special days and all of that. But these are just kind of some general invitations that we always have. This one I think is pretty cool. You could use these, or this might be a good one to just have with you if somebody gets saved, where you could say like, hey, it talks about baptism, talks about church attendance. So we have this. We also have this one. This is actually something that my wife made. My wife made this for herself for soul winning years ago. When she first started soul winning, she made this for herself. And as she had it, ladies in the church kept asking her, like, can I get a copy of that? Can I get a copy of that? People would see her have it out soul winning, and ladies in the church kept asking her. So then she was making them for other ladies. And then those ladies' husbands kept asking her, you know, asking for them too. So then at one point I'm like, okay, honey, we're just gonna have to turn this into a thing. So we have these Verity Baptist Church soul winning reference guides, and it just has a bunch of verses, a bunch of like topics, and then verses to help you. So like Jesus died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15:3. Jesus born of a virgin, Jesus God in the flesh, Jesus never sinned, Jesus went to hell, the Trinity, salvation only through Jesus, eternal security, sealed with the Holy Spirit, repentance of sins as works, hell is forever, hell is beneath, souls go to heaven or hell, baptism, women's clothing, modesty, nakedness, no women preachers, divorce, remarriage, sodomy, reprobate, alcohol, celebrating holidays, the Sabbath, cults, names of God other than Jehovah, who are the 144,000, only one God, parentheses for Mormons. Now, this is not meant to be your soul winning presentation, okay? You're like, I'm going to cover all of those things in my soul winning. No, this is meant to be a reference so that when you do get that hard case and they ask you a specific question, you have something that is in your Bible that you could be like, oh yeah, I've got a verse here to go to. So we've got these things. All of these things are available for you. They're all free. We're doing the best we can to just give you what you need, equip you for the work of the ministry and the work of soul winning. So just real quickly, conclusion, we should be trying to fulfill the Great Commission. We should be trying to get people saved. We should be trying to get people baptized. And we should be trying to get people in church that they might learn and grow in their Christian walk. So determined to not only learn how to get people saved, but determined to follow up on your converts. And maybe you're here today and you say, I came to this thing because I don't even know how to give the gospel. I don't know about this whole convert following up thing. I just want to learn how to give the gospel. Start there, okay? But for those of you that you're like, I give the gospel, I get people saved, then you need to move on to following up and getting converts in church and getting them baptized and all of those things, all right? So that's lesson number 10, conserving the results.